On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Michael Moore's new film Sicko takes a big screen scalpel to America's healthcare industry. It's sick, he says, and so are we if we let it stand. Millions uncovered, others covered but denied care, literally thrown on the street. Moore takes desperate Americans on his Sicko showboat, bobbing right to the gates of Guantanamo Bay.
Permission to enter. I have three 9/11 rescue workers.
They just want some medical attention, the same kind that the evildoers are getting.
Hello?
Moore is funny. He's also dead serious. This hour on Point, we'll look at Michael Moore's blistering attack on the U.S. healthcare system and on America's moral health. We'll hear this hour from healthcare admirers and critics of Moore's message in Sicko. But first, we go to film critic A.O. Scott, who reviewed Sicko for the New York Times. A.O. Scott, welcome. Thanks a lot for being here.
It's very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So look at this thing for us as a work of film, as a comedy, a tragedy, an argument. What did you make of it?
Well, I liked it quite a bit, and I think that it avoids some of what for me had been the drawbacks of other Michael Moore films. I mean, he makes very entertaining and to people who don't agree with him, and some who do, very infuriating movies. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing that since Roger and Me back in 1989. What's different about this one, there are a few things. One is that he's in this movie a lot less than in his others, and the trademark sort of ambushing that he's done, you know, that he did with the Ford Motor Company executives in Roger and Me, with Charlton Heston in Bowling for Columbine, isn't there as much. And I think he's also taking on an issue compared to Fahrenheit 9/11 that doesn't break down quite as easily along the lines, you know, of political polarization in this country. That is, Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, people who hated George Bush to begin with liked the movie. People who were in favor of what Bush was doing in Iraq at the time probably didn't even see it and wouldn't have liked it if they had. This movie goes in a way much deeper toward an issue that affects a lot of people right where they live, however they may vote or identify themselves politically.
$4.5 million box office in the first weekend versus almost $24 million for Fahrenheit 9/11, his Road to War indictment. So not the same big turnout at the get-go. Do you think it will build?
I think it's a smaller initial opening. Actually, I think it's only on
440 theaters.
Yeah, which I think is smaller than what Fahrenheit 9/11 did. But you know, in some ways, this one is a harder sell. We're farther out from the election, and you know, healthcare, I think, may seem to a lot of people as a kind of a wonky policy issue. A lot of the discussion of it in the press and in the media has been that. And I think one of the virtues of this movie is that it puts the argument in very blunt, accessible, sort of visceral terms. So you really kind of feel the impact of these stories, and you can relate very much to what the Americans that he talks to, who have been, you know, denied various forms of treatment and coverage, are going through.
A.O. Scott, remind us of how he pulls comedy out of this, because there's tragic story after tragic story in here. A baby daughter lost, hands lost, futures lost, fortunes lost, families cracked and crushed, people thrown out on the streets in their hospital nightgowns, and yet I saw it over the weekend, and there was a lot of laughter in the theater.
Well, there's a lot of laughter, and part of it is his own personality is very much of a kind of an aw-shucks comedian. So I think also one of the things that he taps into is the kind of the natural sense of humor that Americans often have, even in the midst of terrible things. So the guy at the very beginning of the movie who sawed off two of his fingers and had to choose between which one he wanted to have reattached.
The $12,000 reattachment or the $60,000+ reattachment?
Right, you can have the middle finger for $60,000 or the ring finger for 12. And the guy who has gone through this, you know, seems to kind of have a bit of a sense of humor about it.
Remarkably.
As well. So, I mean, Moore has always been very good, and some of his detractors have said, you know, very manipulative about making entertaining movies that both tug at the heartstrings and upset you and make you angry and make you laugh. And there's a great extended comic sequence when he goes to France, which he depicts as this sort of amazing utopia where, you know, the government will send people to do your laundry and
puree carrots for your baby after childbirth.
Right, exactly. And that's very funny, and the humor there sort of comes from his own performance as a kind of naive American walking through the streets of Paris saying, you know, gosh, maybe these people aren't as lazy and corrupt as we've been told.
And of course, he juxtaposes that, the scene of sort of happy, carefree French people frolicking in the park against images of truly anguished, beaten up and ground down Americans who are caught in some kind of hell, as Michael Moore describes it.
Yes, and you can say, I mean, that, you know, that there's overstatement in all sides of this movie, which is I think part of the point and part of the way of making the point. I mean, I think that, you know, you could certainly go to France and find people who weren't, you know, ecstatically happy about their health care, and you could, you know, in the United States find people who had satisfactory experiences. But I think what he's doing here is making not just an argument about healthcare, but using the disparities in the healthcare system to make, I think, a very radical and very interesting argument about the relationship between a state and its citizens and what the social model could or should be and how the United States social model compares with that in other countries.
Never mind the state. He talks a lot about the relation between citizens themselves, in effect.
That his sort of view is that you know, what you could call social democracy as it exists in Canada and in Western Europe, I don't think you could really call it democracy in Cuba, but that's another matter, is, you know, perhaps an attractive alternative to the kind of individualism that's been the norm here. And what I think is fascinating about this movie is that it makes this argument for a different way of doing things, for an argument that maybe the way we do things is not the best way, in a very American idiom, you know, in a very kind of
the guy in the baseball cap, the shambling big guy.
Exactly.
You say it goes against the conventional wisdom that liberalism is an elite ideology. He's kind of a walking refutation to that, which drives conservative critics bananas, you say.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his point has always been, or has frequently been, and certainly in a book he wrote a couple of years ago called Dude, Where's My Country, that, you know, the American people are in many ways, you know, further to the left than their political leadership or than the kind of the media discourse would suggest. And I think that his use of the kind of populist regular guy persona makes a lot of people mad because they think that you know, only Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity are allowed to get away with that.
Right.
That the, you know, the regular guys are all, you know, red state guys,
right.
And I think that Moore has been very doggedly trying to challenge that, and I mean, which is one of the reasons that his movies are so focused on you know, lower middle class and working class Americans as the real core, maybe not of his audience, but of who he wants to talk about.
Relentlessly, and again here in this film, A.O. Scott gives it a thumbs up. A.O. Scott, film critic at the New York Times, always great talking with you. Thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
We're talking today about Michael Moore's new broadside attack on America's healthcare system, SICKO. Joining me now from Rohnert Park, California, is Deborah Berger, president of the California Nurses Association, which is teaming up with Michael Moore to host 3,000 showings and lectures across the country as part of a Scrubs for SICKO campaign. She's been a nurse for more than 30 years. Deborah Berger, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
So it looks pretty wretched, the way Michael Moore lays it on the examination table. Is it as bad as all that? Is this movie fair in its scathing indictment of the American healthcare industry?
Actually, Michael Moore and many of the nurses have said that the movie is actually the G-rated version of what nurses see every day. It does accurately portray the issues that nurses have to deal with when they're trying to make sure that their patients get the care that they need when they're in the hospital, in a clinic, or in doing home visits. So it really does give a message to the public that we really do need to do something differently. And we're very, very excited to be working with Michael Moore on our project, which is Scrubs for Sicko, that will get the message out there that it's time for healthcare reform.
The G-rated version, really? I mean, people choosing which finger they want to save, people thrown out on the streets, people watching their spouses die because they're denied care. Is that everyday or exceptional stuff?
No, this isn't exceptional. If you go down to the Union Rescue Mission that's in L.A., they installed surveillance cameras because they had so many people that were being just dropped off in the gutter, literally.
And he shows that in the film, that poor woman, wandering old lady in her hospital nightgown.
It broke my heart. But the reality is that does happen. And there is no amount of regulation possible that would take into consideration all of the loopholes that the healthcare industry would try to find.
Here's a piece early in the film, Sicko, where Michael Moore famously interviews Carpenter Rick, who talks about the choices he had to make because he did not have health insurance.
This is Rick.
I was ripping a piece of wood and I grabbed it right here and it hit a knot.
He sawed off the tops of two of his fingers.
And it just zipped and it was that quick.
His first thought?
I don't have insurance. How much is this going to cost?
The hospital gave him a choice. Reattach the middle finger for $60,000 or do the ring finger for $12,000. Being a hopeless romantic, Rick chose the ring finger for the bargain price of $12,000. The top of his middle finger now enjoys its new home in an Oregon landfill.
Where the seagulls are pecking at what may be the finger. Deborah Berger's been with us. She's president of the California Nurses Association. They are so into this. They've been helping Michael Moore roll the film out with lectures after the film at different showings around the country. We're joined right now as well from Minneapolis, Minnesota, by Roger Feldman. He's a professor in health policy and management at the University of Minnesota's School of Public Health. Professor Feldman, Roger Feldman, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So have you seen it?
I did yesterday.
And will Americans be properly educated and outraged by this film, Sicko?
They might be outraged, but I don't think they'll be properly educated.
Why?
Well, there's plenty that's wrong with the United States healthcare system and a lot that needs to be fixed. But I think Moore misdirects our attention in showing us what he believes are the problems. I'd like to illustrate that by Moore's rant against managed care organizations, which motivates the first part of the movie. I think the focus on managed care and the managed care backlash diverts attention from the more important national health issues, such as quality of care and lack of insurance coverage. Moore's particularly incensed about the Kaiser Health Plan from California.
Yeah.
He blames Kaiser for many of the faults of the U.S. healthcare system. Well, unfortunately, he's ignoring a lot of facts. I'd like to quote from the prestigious British Medical Journal. They say that the National Health Service, that's their national health plan,
which he lauds and gives great praise,
which he praises,
yes,
can learn from Kaiser's integrated approach, the focus on chronic diseases and their effective management, the emphasis placed on self-care, the role of intermediate care, and the leadership provided by doctors in developing and supporting this model of care.
Okay, there's a model, but then listen to this with us for a second, if you would, from the film. You saw it. Linda Pino, former medical reviewer with Humana, testifying before Congress, saying that she's ashamed of how much care she has denied to often deserving Americans in the course of her career.
I denied a man a necessary operation that would have saved his life and thus caused his death. No person and no group has held me accountable for this, because in fact what I did was I saved a company $500,000.
Saved $500,000, got promoted, on her way to the top of the industry. Deborah Berger, Roger Feldman says, wrong emphasis. He should have looked at quality of care. He should have looked more at the uninsured, that this business of denying care is kind of a not a top priority or problem.
Well, Michael Moore does point out that the insurance companies really are the problem, not just for HMOs, but the, quote, nonprofits, the nonprofits that, by the way, do make money. And he also gets it wrong when he says that quality of care needs to be looked at here in the United States as something that's positive. And while it may be positive for those that can afford insurance, the reality is that the outcomes are not very good for those that are just barely getting by. We have a higher infant mortality rate. We have a lower longevity rate than a number of countries that have universal health care. And so there's a lot to be looked at on both sides. But the bottom line is, everybody does agree that the insurance companies are the problem. They take 30% of every healthcare dollar. That goes back into compensation for CEOs. That goes back into marketing. That goes into lobbying our congresspeople to stop healthcare reform. So there is money in the system, and we believe that it needs to be better utilized.
Here's Michael Moore in an interview with Bill Maher talking about the message along those lines he hopes to deliver in the movie.
It's about how the health insurance industry essentially is running a racket. And because they have to maximize profits for their shareholders, the only way that they can do that is by screwing their clients, trying to deny them coverage, kicking them off the rolls, not paying doctors claims that are sent in. I mean, a whole bunch of things that they do that make life miserable for so many people. And between them and the pharmaceutical companies who are just ripping everybody off right and left, these two industries are essentially the vehicle in this film that I use to tell the maybe a larger story about who we are as Americans and why are we the only Western industrialized country that doesn't have free universal health coverage. It's absolutely insane, I think.
It's funnier on the screen, but there he is explaining what he's trying to get at. Roger Feldman, I want to get your response. Let me get a call here first. Jeffrey's calling from Des Moines, Iowa. Jeffrey, you're on the air.
I saw the film over the weekend. I thought it was extremely funny. I mean, I laughed almost all the way through, even though it was such a serious topic. My point is that I think it does point to the question of who we are as Americans. I mean, you know, when we say we love our country, I mean, what does that really mean? You know, and is healthcare a right or is it a for-profit enterprise? And I think one of the things the film points out so straightforward, and as Michael Moore just said, there is a reason why every industrialized country in the world has created a system largely where healthcare is a right and not a for-profit enterprise.
And here we are at number 44 on the life expectancy lists in the CIA World Factbook as of this month, behind Macau and Hong Kong and Spain and Greece and Malta. Jim's on the line from Nashville. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. What do you see, Jim?
I just wanted to comment that Michael Moore, it's unfortunate that an issue as essential to the lives of so many people has to be, I think Michael Moore is really a caricature unto himself and such a polarizing figure that it's unfortunate that these issues weren't presented in what I would consider a fair and more balanced presentation by a journalist instead of someone who is essentially a Hollywood filmmaker who lives a lifestyle who portrays an image that is inconsistent but actually lives the life of a Hollywood movie mogul.
You know, Jim, describes himself as a journalist. Journalists have written about this for years. Do you think it's a good and important thing to have Michael Moore mix it up and get everybody talking again, or distortion outweighs that? What?
I think the story outweighs it, and I think Michael Moore drives people away from, I mean, he will attract an audience. But I think what we need is consensus and not division, and I think he's a divisive figure.
Let me get one more call from Paris, France. Joel is on the line. Joel in Paris. Hi, what do you know?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have not seen the movie yet because it's not available here yet. I intend to see it when it comes out.
Well, let me tell you, he loves France and the French healthcare system, no question.
Well, you know, we have a pretty good healthcare system. I've lived in both under both systems. I used to work for a Fortune 5 company mm-hmm. in the U.S., so I had, I think, pretty good healthcare in the U.S. when I was there compared to most of the people, and I always felt really bad for the people with no health insurance. It seems like such a shame. The French healthcare system is actually really good, but there's, like a little kind of dirty little secret about it that I don't know if it's really pointed out in the movie. I don't think the health insurance is the actual, major difference. The single-payer system is probably a little bit more efficient, but I think what makes a huge difference is the actual cost of the healthcare system. I mean, the cost of a regular visit to a doctor is about 20 euros, and that's without any insurance. That's the actual cost that you have to pay to go see a doctor. If you want to go see a heart specialist, it's probably between 60 to 100 euros, max.
So peanuts compared to what Americans pay in their premiums and right on down the line. Roger Feldman, there is a lot of frustration in this country over the healthcare system. We look at these life expectancy numbers at our ranking in the World Health Organization report, down below, Costa Rica and Dominica and Chile, where France is number one. Do you think this will help drive us toward improvement, even if it's not focused where you would put your microscope?
Well, I went to the movie with four people, and one of the four strongly argued this position. I took the opposite position, that to get a debate off on the wrong foot won't produce the right results. I'd like to respond to Joel's point.
Yes, in French.
Which I think is important, that a lot of the difference between the cost of the French system and many others compared with the United States is they pay lower provider fees. And Tom, if you note, Michael Moore dismissed this explanation out of hand. It's also not correct.
Explain that to us. I'm not sure what you're getting at. We heard Deborah say, the providers take a big profit in America. Abroad, it's not for profit, so that's not such an issue. What's the problem with lower provider fees?
I don't think there is a problem. I think the problem is that we pay too much. In the United States, a doctor makes 5.5 times as much as a working man. In Britain, an average doctor makes 1.5 times as much as the average working man. In fact, if we paid our doctors Canadian prices, our healthcare system wouldn't cost any more than Canada's.
So, I'm not sure where you're going with that.
I'm going that Michael Moore has misplaced the emphasis. He blames high administrative costs and says we've got to attack those nasty health insurers. And I'm saying that a lot of health policy analysts say, let's look at the amounts of money that we're paying providers.
Deborah Berger, here's a kind of reality check. I mean, what are you going to do? Take American doctors and whack their incomes down by a factor of 4 or 5 to get what we need?
Well, in the documentary itself, Michael Moore does look at the amount of compensation that physicians and other medical providers get from their systems. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we change any healthcare provider's way of life. But we do need to look at the insurance companies, because the fact of the matter is we have middlemen, CEOs that do nothing except deny care, interfere with health care, deny claims, and yet they get compensation that is even higher than a cardiac surgeon. So looking at salaries for actual providers of care is really the wrong way to go. We do need to look at the insurance companies, because they are the problem. And it's pointed out very, very clearly that we can't trust an insurance company to safely provide care, because it's a conflict of interest in their corporation to make sure that the patient gets every single bit of care they need, because they're looking at the bottom line. And they have a responsibility to their shareholders to make sure that there's a profit in that company. And when it comes to, do I give the patient this plan of action for healthcare,
right, right,
or do I give my shareholders a bonus, they have to choose, and by law, they are required to look at the interests of their shareholders. So we believe that insurance companies have to go.
Take them out, put single-payer, universal health care coverage in, and off we go. Let's take a call from Susan in Concord, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I am very happy that Michael Moore is focusing the attention on our health care problem that we have. I practice medicine in Massachusetts, and I've been practicing for 15 years, and I will tell you, the shift that I have seen in what I can provide to my patients has been dramatic. And I would like to respond to the idea of reducing salaries of providers. I think that is such a crazy idea. If you look at the amount of money that a provider has to invest in their own health education, it's outrageous to think someone that's going to go to a college for $40,000 a year, then to a private medical school for another $40,000 a year, will be graduating with practically $250,000 to $500,000 debt, is then going to
right
themselves.
Right. Of course, that's where Michael Moore really pulls the curtains back. And there are points where he says, look, you should have, these countries have free university education, free daycare, free health care. He really goes for the social welfare model. You say, you're a doctor, you say, don't cut what I make. But you also say the care you've been able to provide has diminished down and down. Why?
Why? Because I am focusing my attention on billing. I have to, when I spend my 15 minutes with a patient, I have to spend a lot of time billing for that. I have to code properly. Instead of my taking time to learn about the latest updates in my specialty, some of my energy has to go to learn how to bill properly so that I will be paid properly.
What do you think about a single-payer government system like Canada or the UK or France or Cuba, which Michael Moore loves them all?
I think you need to follow the money, and you see where the money is going. 30% of the money is going to go to the administrators, and I think what we need to do is embrace a single-payer system so that we can take away this extra money and put it back on providing care for patients.
Dr. Susan, thank you for calling. Roger Feldman, what's your position on single-payer, on a government-run system? Are you for it or against it?
I think what we have to do is carefully define what we mean by single-payer. I think this term is used in so many different ways by many different people. In Britain, the system is nationalized. It's truly government-run. In Canada, the government collects taxes but then pays them to private providers. So we need really to clarify what we mean by single payer.
Well, is there some centrally operated system you would favor, or do you like our current system?
Tom, I think the question is, what do I like about the systems such as Canada and the United Kingdom? For example, I like how the United Kingdom has used pay for performance. That is, they pay doctors more for doing better and getting better outcomes.
Right.
And they're way ahead of us in this respect. Moore alluded very briefly to this fact, but
yes,
he didn't go into it.
In Sicko, Michael Moore is very into the hoops that insurance companies make patients jump through.
Laura Burnham was in a 45-mile-an-hour head-on collision that knocked her out cold. Paramedics got her out of the car and into an ambulance for a trip to the hospital.
I get a bill from my insurance company telling me that the ambulance ride was not going to be paid for because it wasn't pre-approved. I don't know exactly when I was supposed to pre-approve it, you know, like after I gained consciousness in the car, before I got in the ambulance.
And there she is. She didn't call in, so she's paying for her ambulance ride after a car wreck. Roger Feldman from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health is with us. Deborah Berger, she's president of the California Nurses Association, been a nurse for 30 years, has teamed up with a lot of people, part of Scrubs for Sicko, lecturing and talking about this movie. Right now we're joined from Princeton, New Jersey by Uwe Reinhardt. He's professor of economics and public affairs at the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. He studied the U.S. healthcare system for a couple of decades, written extensively about it. Uwe Reinhardt, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on your program.
We've had great conversations with you in the past about American health care and its issues and problems. They're no secret to anybody anymore. What do you make of this film? Does it help push us toward a solution?
I think the film is very helpful. I disagree with Roger that it is not helpful. It raises basically two questions. The first one, and you already alluded to it, who are we as a people? I grew up on American care packages in Europe, and coming here, I have to tell you, I'm very confused. Here was a people that fed the children of the enemy, and look at how it treats its own children and its own people. So the question, who are we as a people, I think is a timely one to raise. Secondly, what he really asks is this. We are spending twice as much per capita on healthcare as Canadians do. Do we get anything commensurately in terms of value? Why do we have so much insecurity in our system that the Canadians and the French don't have? You can always lose your job and your insurance and your house or not get health care. And why do we tolerate so much visible cruelty in our midst? Those are very important questions. Economists hardly ever raise them. In fact, economists hardly ever deal with ethical issues. So I'm very glad that he raises these issues. Incidentally, with respect to Roger Feldman's remark that physicians are overpaid, I couldn't disagree more vehemently. American physicians are not overpaid relative to what their college classmates make in almost any other walk of life. That is not really the problem with the American system.
So is the problem the profit that goes to the insurance companies, or is it our – we got a problem here. Where's the heart of it?
The problem isn't even the profits. That's only a nickel on the premium dollar. That isn't really the issue either. The issue is that we do not have insurance for most people. We have insurance. It's temporary. You can easily lose it. You simply don't have the kind of security that other nationals have. That's the first problem. The second one Roger alluded to, quality of care. There is evidence of high variations in quality. At the best, the American health system is the best in the world, but it has some shoddy quality in the middle, and we have not gotten at this problem. Those are the real problems. The third one is we do spend too much on administration. We're spending about, my estimate would be, 24 cents of every healthcare dollar. I think the private insurance industry, many of whom still use paper for claims, should get that ratio down to something like 12%. So those are three issues. There's inefficiency and waste. Quality is highly variable. But the insecurity about health insurance and the cruelty that that begets is something we need to address. And I think Roger Moore takes a 2x4, smacks us in the face, and says, think about it.
Or Michael Moore. Let's go to Canada.
Michael, yes.
not 007, but still a man out on the high seas in derring do here at Guantanamo. In Port Terry, Ontario, we're joined by Sean. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm so pleased to be able to talk with your listeners. I really enjoy public radio from the United States. And although our system in Canada isn't perfect, it certainly has advantages over the American system. For the average wage earner, you know, the poorest people in the United States can get some kind of Medicare or Medicaid, and the bank president can pay for whatever health services he or she may need. But the person earning $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year is by far the most numerous, I would think, and they're caught up in this what your commentator called the insurance system.
Sean, let me ask you: when you look across the border from Canada, do you see Americans kind of twisted up in fear and cruelty as Moore presents them compared to Canadians? Are you all as laid back about health care as Michael Moore suggests, given your system?
Well, if you need a crucially important operation, you don't have to sell your house to get it. I have a friend in Florida who had a cancer operation, and the insurance company canceled his policy, which he'd always paid faithfully, and sent him a bill for $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and off he goes. Sean, thanks for calling in from Canada. Deborah, I hear you chiming in there.
Yes, it's really ludicrous that in a country as wealthy, rich in resources as our country is, that we treat people that need health care as if they're second-class citizens. And we already have a government-run system of health care here that just needs to be expanded. If we used Medicare, which uses only 2 to 3 cents per health care dollar for administration, we could cover everyone, and they would have health care that they wouldn't have to worry was canceled. They wouldn't have to sell their home to get health care. They wouldn't have to sell their home and go into debt and bankruptcy to get the necessary surgery or cancer treatments. And so we believe that Medicare, getting rid of the age 65 and including everyone, would be the way to go.
Roger Feldman, you hear the nurses' direct testimony there. You hear Uwe Reinhardt bemoaning the cruelty he sees in the American system. And Michael Moore makes much of that, example after example after example. So do you see a system that will line up with American values that will address that?
Well, let me remark also along with Professor Reinhardt that one of the central issues in this film that the film tries to address is the relation between the group and the individual, or the citizen and society. When I saw the movie yesterday, the only real applause was when Tony Benn, the British politician, said that universal health care will follow democracy.
This is the old liberal lion of the Labour Party in the UK.
That's correct. Unfortunately, I disagree with Professor Reinhardt. I think that message got lost in the cartoonish presentation of Moore's trips to these other countries, what I would describe as Borat in reverse. As you know, David Denby wrote a blistering review in the New Yorker magazine recently in which he said that Moore treats his viewers as the powerful treat the weak in America, as dopes easily satisfied with fairy tales. That was the message that I took away.
Let's listen to just a little bit of that. Here's Michael Moore in London, sort of wandering through a London hospital, looking at the National Health Service, the NHS, a hospital in London, looking for where he's supposed to pay.
This guy broke his ankle. How much will this cost him? He'll have some huge bill when he's done, right?
Here, NHS, everything is free.
I'm asking about hospital charges,
yeah.
And you're laughing. Even with insurance, there's bound to be a bill somewhere. What'd they charge you for that baby?
No. Everything's on
the NHS.
So, yeah, you know,
no,
it's not America.
So this is where people come to pay their bill when they're done staying in the hospital.
No, this is the NHS hospital, so you don't pay the bill.
Why does it say cashier here if people don't have to pay a bill?
Those who have reduced means get their travel expenses reimbursed.
So in British hospitals, instead of money going into the cashier's window, money comes out.
There it is. It's that inside-out world. Roger Feldman quotes David Denby, the New Yorker, saying it's kind of insult to put it that way. Others say, well, it's hard to break through and popularize an alternate universe. Listeners, what do you think? Ashley's calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Ashley, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty good. What do you see?
Well, when I was watching the movie, one of the big questions to me, especially the young woman who lost her daughter who had a high fever at the hospital, wouldn't treat her right. And to me, what kept crossing my mind was, don't doctors take an oath that says that they are supposed to treat people and do anything they can to make them better? And to me, that just seems like that goes against completely all their principles and everything that they say that they stand for. And I just wonder how people can get away, doctors and nurses can get away with treating people that way and not be held accountable for it.
And turn away a baby that dies on the way to another hospital. That is rough stuff. Let's go to Ron in Walpole, Massachusetts. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Tom.
Hi.
I think we're missing a point here, and I wanted to highlight a little further what the professor had said. I think this film states more about the United States and what we are as a people, more so than specific problems with the healthcare system. We all know it's broke. We all know it's going to collapse, especially with the onslaught of the baby boomers. But we miss a comparison, I think, when we talk about Canada and England. Those are countries that have good health care or reasonable health care that's accessible. They also have a different lifestyle in those locations where people can look forward to some sort of a retirement. In Europe, they can look forward, in most cases, to the month of August and having a what they call holiday. And these are all things that are missing in our society. And I think when you look at the greed that goes on and some of the executive salaries, I think we have a much bigger problem. We talk about the disappearing middle class, and I think that this film is one more example of that, where the top 1% does very well, and the rest of us just try to hang on until the end.
So, Ron, when Michael Moore blows his theme up very big and goes right beyond health care to the whole society, you're right with him on that. Uwe Reinhart, politically, the country has certainly not gone in that direction in the last several decades here now. So is he barking up the wrong tree? Is American culture just not open to that kind of social welfare perspective that looks pretty nice abroad, at least as he presents it?
Well, I think we have gone in the other direction, but I think what he believes and what I believe is the American people are actually inherently nicer than they now act. They have been led in the past few years by leaders who basically preach selfishness, rugged individualism as the supreme virtue. But societies, modern societies, don't operate this way. I think if the American people really looked at themselves in the mirror and saw the warts on their face, they would like to have those excised. Because in many, many ways, the American people are touchingly nice, but they have this cruelty. For example, even think of a society where the elite makes war and the bottom half of the income class fights these wars. And no one ever raises that as an ethical issue, but it is an ethical issue. Americans really have to ask themselves, what is patriotism? What does that mean anymore? Does that mean sending your neighbor's kids to war? The same in healthcare. Patriotism also means that when my neighbor is sick, I help my neighbor. And we're losing that, and we're actually marching bit by bit in the direction of individualism, which makes for cruel societies where people in the end have no patriotism and have no sense of belonging. Mm.
And now we're way up in the moral and ethical sphere, a long way from sawed-off fingertips, but yet they still are there in this film. Roger Feldman, do you think that kind of argument is going to drive the health care debate and where we end up in this country?
Excuse me, Tom, which kind of argument?
On the fundamental, a kind of fundamental moral critique of the underpinnings, I guess, of our healthcare system.
I hope it does. I would hope that the argument would be driven by the moral and ethical considerations as well as the practical ones. And as an analyst, I guess I'm more on the practical side. I think of how we could deliver health care more effectively, least costly, and with better quality. If those type of issues are put together with the moral and ethical issues, I think we do have a real chance for health care reform.
And Deborah Berger, Nurse Berger, what do you see? Do you feel, I don't know, revolution on the way here, real change in American health care, or the same old kind of back and forth we've had for years now with Michael Moore at the end of it?
Well, what I believe is that the movie blows away a smokescreen that's covering up the lies in health care and highlights some of the atrocities. We sent nurses to Hurricane Katrina, and many of the patients that we saw there had never been seen by any health care provider. And it made the disaster even worse. And we believe that the movie, although some people may say that it's more of a cartoon or that he overstates many of the instances, I think it's going to really start a debate on health care. What I'm really concerned about, however, is that we do have an opportunity with the Conyers-Kucinich bill in our national capital. That's H.R. 676, and in California, SB 840, which is Sheila Kuehl's bill, we do have a unique opportunity, and we shouldn't let that opportunity pass without really having an ability to hold politicians accountable for helping to reform health care. If we let them off the hook now, we've truly lost an opportunity.
We'll have more debate on all of that, but right now we've got a movie opening, and I'm really grateful to each of you for helping us look at it. Deborah Berger, president of the California Nurses Association, thank you very much for being with us this hour. Roger Feldman at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. Professor Feldman, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Uwe Reinhart at the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Listeners, we would like to offer a special welcome today to our new Idaho stations, KBSU, Boise, and KEZJ in Twin Falls. And while we're at it, let me give a big shout-out to our many great listeners in communities where we air happily but not live. We don't usually get your calls, but we get your emails and your go-get-ems from New York City and Seattle, Tacoma, and Salt Lake City and Austin, Texas, from Milwaukee and St. Louis, Missouri and Wisconsin and Oregon and California, Santa Barbara and Monterey and many more. We love you all and know you're there. Keep those cards and emails coming. And welcome, Idaho. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.